All right, so today we are starting a series, and it's titled, Let's Celebrate. We're going to talk about celebrating, what God's Word has to say about it, why it is important, and why it's something we need to do. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not the really party type. I mean, I'm happy to have a good book and some good music, but God's Word talks about celebrating a lot. It's important, and you and I were created to celebrate. We were created to be joyful. We were created to worship, and so celebrating is all over in God's Word. You see, there's a number of reasons why we should celebrate, and in the Bible, celebrating involved a number of things. It was often eating together, music, singing, dancing, praising, shouting, and honoring others, and all of it done with great joy. Now, here's a few reasons that we can celebrate, but before I get into the reasons, I just want to say this. Celebrating in the Bible is a little different than celebrating necessarily in the world. So maybe you're new to church, or you used to party it up every weekend and drink a lot. That's a different kind of celebrating, but you almost had it right. You see, celebrating now as a believer is a different type of celebrating, but it's still celebrating. No alcohol, no drugs, and you don't need a random partner to be fulfilled. Now celebrating comes from something within. It's not looking for something without to make you happy. It comes from with what's within. But it happens with other people. Yes, you can celebrate alone, but celebrating with others is really what celebrating is all about. So the first one I'm going to mention of things we can celebrate is actually one may do alone, and this is celebrating the new day God has given. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." In other words, you can celebrate every time you wake up. If you wake up and you're able to smile and see what's going on, you can rejoice in the day. Because, see, God has made a new day. Now, how many of you, when you woke up this morning, you woke up excited? You're like, "Woo, this is a new day." Like a couple of people, maybe some woke up going like, "Oh, I didn't sleep all night, the kids." You know, not every day is easy to wake up, but yet when it's a new day, there is new possibilities. The sky's the limit of what God can do. And when you wake up understanding that, you can praise Him. You can be joyful. You can say, "Yes, this is a brand new day. If yesterday was horrible, this day can only be better. If yesterday was great, so can this one." You see, the way you start your day often determines how your day goes. Think about it. If you start your day, like, "Oh, yeah, this is going to be a horrible day. I got to go to my horrible job and work with my horrible boss and all the other horrible employees." I hope you don't say that because it means you're the horrible employee. But anyways, you know, maybe that's how you sometimes wake up feeling, oh, everything. You know what? Start the day differently and thank the Lord that you have a job. Just thank Him that it's going to be a great day. Thank Him that there's possibilities and people He's going to connect you with, and begin the day with that attitude, and your day will go differently. You know why? You start the day that way, you will be looking for things that are worth celebrating. Start the day the other way, and you automatically look for stuff that makes you mad, because you just knew that's what was going to happen anyways. And you go into work being grouchy, and wouldn't you know it, other people are grouchy to you. Funny how that works. You go for lunch with your spouse, and you're grouchy, and there's an argument, and you're like, "I knew it. You started it." Isn't it amazing how what we begin the day with often determines the day? So I want to encourage you, church, celebrate every new day. It is an opportunity. It is a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to be healthy. It's a blessing to be a believer serving him. Because the sky's the limit. What he might ask you to do, who he might put you in contact with, who he wants you to pray for, to talk to. Be excited about every new day. Now, this is an overview, so I can't get too detailed. I'm going to go quickly. The second thing that I believe that we can celebrate anytime, all the time, is we can celebrate God's provision. Now, God provides for us. He provides through our jobs. We play a part in it. You know, we don't just sit and do nothing and expect God's provision, but yet he brings favor, he brings blessing. He gives you favor at work. If you own a business, he gives you favor with your business. He opens doors that should be open, and he closes doors that should be closed. But he ultimately is providing for us, and it's good. Jesus talked about to his followers, and he said, I don't want you to be worried about what you're going to eat or drink. My Father sees the sparrows when they flutter to the ground. He looks after them. They're always fed. And Jesus said to them, don't you worry about it. You're of much more value than a sparrow. And so we know he does care about us. And he opens those doors. But God's provision comes in a number of ways. And there's a story in Chronicles about King David, and he is getting together provision for building God's temple. And he's getting together provision, and he gives generously himself, and then many others give. And they end up having a celebration because of the provision. So let me read it to you in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 7. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold. Yeah, that ring you have, that's in ounces. We're talking tons, 188 tons. And 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver. You guys realize this is like dump truck loads of gold and silver. And 675 tons of bronze and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. You see, they began to rejoice and be overjoyed because of what was given, the provision that was laid out for building the temple. It said, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. David ended up having a praise time, and he was thanking God for the provision that God had brought. You see, David knew how to celebrate. We know from other stories about David, he celebrated with all his might. He celebrated joyfully. And here he was celebrating for God's provision. And this story is actually towards the end of David's reign and really the end of his life. David has been through many trials, many horrible things happened in his life, his family, and yet here he is still able to rejoice. You see, if the enemy can steal your joy, he steals your strength, and he ultimately steals your passion for life. If you can celebrate because of who God is and what he does, then you can celebrate no matter what. How did Paul and Silas praise and celebrate when they'd just been whipped, beaten, and thrown in prison? because they weren't celebrating the bad things in life. They were celebrating who he is. You see, they celebrated greatly that day for the provision. And you know, I think you and I should celebrate a little bit for what God has done here in our church. You see, God is good, and it's worth rejoicing, and it's worth celebrating when God does great things for us. So I want you to go out of here today celebrating because God has done great things. You see, we can celebrate God's provision, the day he's made. We can also celebrate God's goodness, what he's done in the past, and what he's yet to do. You know, in the Old Testament, God actually commanded them to have yearly celebrations to remember what was done in the past. So the celebration of Passover, which happens around Easter, that celebration was a yearly celebration. And God said, you need to come together and you need to do it like this and you need to rejoice. They were actually commanded to be joyful. You know you're in a rough spot when God has to command you to be joyful. But we are told to rejoice and be joyful in everything. Isn't that amazing? So we can be joyful in what he's done and what he's yet to do. If you're like, I can't think of anything right now that he's done, I just don't feel good. Well, then start thinking about what he can do, and you'll have something to rejoice about. You're like, can I do that? Yeah, you can. Scripture says you can. And as a matter of fact, celebrating what is yet to come is an act of faith. You are taking an action believing that his goodness is coming. What did David say? He said, if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I wouldn't have made it. Did you hear that? There are days that you might have to just focus on that his goodness is coming because it stinks right now. Then do that. Everybody has those kind of days. And you're like, well, I'm having a week. I'm having a year. I have good news. God brings us through things. He doesn't leave us there. You need to know that. If you agree to hang on to his hand, he will not leave you there. And you'll have something to celebrate. I guarantee it. You know, I found out over the years, the greatest celebrations happen with the greatest victories. And the greatest victories happen with the toughest, horriblest battles. Any story you've ever read, any movie you like, if it has an awesome, make you stand up and shout victory, it means it was an unbelievably horrible battle. Guaranteed. Right? I mean, nobody stands up and cheers because you won checkers. No, man, it wasn't a battle. Man. Right? Well, maybe you do, but nobody else. I used to cheer when I won checkers, but nobody else does because it's not a big battle. Now, and you play chess championships and you're, you know, top of the world leaderboard and you win the chess game after, I don't know, how long did it, 2 days they take or something? Then a couple people are like, yeah, you the man or the woman or whoever won. You get my picture. Celebrating is something we must do. And if you're in a spot right now where you can't see anything, then start celebrating what's coming. All right, let me read a scripture. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Oh, his favor lasts a lifetime. Let me get the next line. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. What is he saying? Joy will come. You might not believe it right now, but joy will come again. And oh my goodness, you will celebrate. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. I love this verse because he is saying to celebrate, make a loud noise. God is okay with loud. Celebrating usually gets loud. Did you notice that? When people get excited and want to celebrate something, the volume usually goes up. I know some people are like, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if celebrating has to be loud. And then you go to the hockey game. Hey, you can't even hear yourself think. Whoa! The Oilers finally scored. Whoa! I don't know. I haven't been keeping track this year. But you get my picture. Celebrating is something that actually we were created to do. Do you know that? If you haven't celebrated in a long time, you're missing out on life. God said he came to give us life and life more abundantly, and the abundant life that he came to give us involves celebrating. So how do you know that? Because the Bible is full of it. Celebrating is something we are meant to do. And I can guarantee if right now you are in a spot where you are thinking, I don't even like life. I am just so down. I can guarantee it has been a long time since you celebrated anything. Guaranteed. Because the act of celebrating with others means you have to get yourself up and you have to say, you know what? I'm going to go there. We're going to try. Even if you're like, I don't know, something happens when you get around other people who are joyful, other people who are making some noise, other people who are like, yeah. And what happens? You forget the not so good and you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to be joyful. I think I'm going to celebrate. Psalm 150, praise him in the temple. We're talking about celebrating God's goodness, what he's done in the past and what he's yet to do. Praise him in the temple, in the heavens he made with mighty power. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequal greatness. Praise him with the trumpet, with the lute, the harp. Praise him with the drums, dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and horns. Praise him with the cymbal, yes, loud, clanging cymbals. Let everything alive give praises to the Lord. You praise him. Hallelujah. David knew how to praise God. He praised him, and he praised him with all his might. This verse talks about all the instruments. All instruments. He's basically listed every kind of instrument you could think of and said, make a loud noise, worship me. And so God wants us to celebrate and to praise him. Listen to this in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Before I read it, I want you to know that Peter is speaking to believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire who were tried and tested and persecuted. Okay? This is who he's talking to. People who likely had relatives who had been killed or taken to jail because they believed in Jesus. That's crazy, isn't it? And here we're like, oh, this is so hard. No, it's not. It is not hard serving Jesus. And he is talking to them, and listen to what he says. You love him, although you have not seen him, and you believe in him, although you do not see him. So you rejoice with a great and glorious joy which words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in him. What's he saying? You guys have never physically seen Jesus, that's all of us, but you believe him. Even now, you don't physically see him, but you believe him. And then he says to them, you guys are rejoicing. We can't even express it with words. Somebody obviously told Peter, or Peter was there watching them rejoice and celebrate. And it was like, I don't even know what to say. That's basically nowadays where I don't even know what to say. You guys know how to celebrate. And their only reason for celebrating? Their salvation. Are you saved? Then you have something to celebrate. Are you saved? Then you have something to celebrate. Are you saved? Then you have something to celebrate. Are you saved? Then you have something to celebrate. I'm saved. Woo! I'm saved. I tell you what, when's the last time you celebrated being saved? We're like, well, I'm a Christian. I have to go to church once a week. Celebrate your salvation. Try it sometime. If you're like, I don't know, but try it. Go ahead someday. Make a loud noise and get a little bit excited about your salvation. If we can't get excited and celebrate our salvation, there's nothing you're going to be able to celebrate. I mean, let's be honest. We talked all about it last weekend, the price that was paid for that. So we didn't have to pay it. I'm okay with rejoicing that nobody put nails through my wrists. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Nobody whipped me, and I'm free. That's worth celebrating. So they celebrated what Jesus had done. Now, there's another thing that we can celebrate, and this is scriptural. We can celebrate those around us. I guess we can celebrate a new day. We can celebrate God's provision. We can celebrate things God's done in the past and who he is. And we can celebrate those around us. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. And Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know somebody, they're rejoicing, celebrate with them. In other words, if they're rejoicing, it's because something's going on that's making them rejoice, and you come alongside them, and you are rejoicing with them. Isn't that good? You can celebrate the people around you. When's the last time you celebrated your spouse? Maybe on her birthday or his birthday? Hopefully on your anniversary, or you're in trouble. Maybe Valentine's Day, you celebrate one another, and it's a good thing. I remember hearing somebody one time say they didn't believe it was right to celebrate birthdays. I'm like, I feel sorry for you. Why would it not be right to celebrate someone's birthday? We're called to honor and rejoice with others, to build others up. You honor and build up your kids, your family, more than ever when you have a special day where you celebrate them. I'm not the celebrating loud guy. You see me here. But not always, but I married into a family that knew how to celebrate. My wife's family, I don't know if it's culture or what, but man, they know how to celebrate. You celebrate birthdays, you celebrate Christmas, Easter, New Year's, you make up a couple holidays, you celebrate. I just couldn't think of any more. But I mean, we celebrate, and they do it awesome. And I married into that, and I love it. I realize celebrating is good for me. Keeps me from getting grouchy and down, because you've got to. It also causes us as an extended family that celebrates together, we got to deal with our stuff. Because once or twice a month, we're all going to get together and have a big meal and be there with each other. So you got to deal with it. And we celebrate. Celebrating is good for you. If you have not had someone celebrate a birthday for you, do it. If you're worried about your age, tell them to put less candles on the cake. They just need to celebrate you. You are worth being celebrated. If Jesus felt you were worth dying on a cross and all those things, why are you not worth being celebrated? Somebody needs to hear this today. You are worth being celebrated. You matter. You're one of his kids. I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Well, that's probably not a secret. I tell everything from the pulpit. But on my birthday, which I had in April in the beginning, on my birthday, do you know what I do? I talk to my heavenly father. And in case he forgets, I remind him my birthday's coming up. Of course, I know he knows. And I'm like, you're my heavenly father. You can give me whatever gift you want, Lord. I'll be happy. I get excited because I know he's my heavenly father and I'm one of his kids. Why wouldn't he bless me? And as you know, he always does. I'm not talking stuff. I'm talking spiritual blessings, God opening doors, whatever he chooses. But he always does it. And you know what? I don't do that because I think I'm somebody great. I do that because I know my father. And he's great. And he wants to bless his kids always. You matter. Your birthday should be celebrated. But you matter. And your family should celebrate you. Don't tell your family not to celebrate you. I got to tell you this. My father-in-law, he was awesome. He knew about birthdays. He loved his birthday. And as a matter of fact, about a month before his birthday would come, he would start reminding people that it was his birthday coming. But he reminded them because he always said, we're having a tent meeting. We're having a meeting in a hall for my birthday. It would be in a hall because his birthday was when it was cold. We're having a birthday meeting. I want everybody to come, and we want to get someone saved. And he would tell everybody. It would be, to him, that was a birthday present, to have people come together and worship God and see someone saved or healed. Your birthday matters because you matter. All right. Families, celebrate the people in your family. If you haven't celebrated people in your family that much, start doing it. It will unite your family more than you can imagine. It will build a connection that you didn't realize. Don't put off celebrating because you're too busy. If you're too busy to celebrate, then you're too busy to live the abundant life that God has. Stop it. Well, there's some preaching. Stop it. Celebrate! Well, I would celebrate, but, you know, my kids have been really acting up. They're just annoying nuisance right now. That's all the more reason to celebrate. Did you know when kids are acting up, annoying nuisance? It's because they are longing for attention of some kind. Always. They're like, oh no, you don't know my kid. Always. I'm talking teenagers right now, that's what's in my head. When they begin to get out, they're doing crazy things, they have maybe come to the point where they decided you're not going to give them attention, so they're trying to get it from everywhere else. Always. Or they actually are trying to get it from you. This is not a maybe, this is always. When people act out stupid, they're trying to get attention. I remember the times I acted stupid, I was usually trying to impress somebody. What does that mean? Get attention. So when people have been acting stupid, it's more of a reason to celebrate them. Let them know how important they are. Let them know how much you care. Okay, I went a little more on that than I need to, but somebody need to hear that. We are talking about celebrating those around us. Jesus talked about celebrating those around us. I got to get these verses. We got lots of time. Don't worry. Did you know that in heaven it's going to be loud with celebrating? Did you know that? John, the Revelator, saw heaven and he saw them worshiping and heard them worshiping. And you know what he said? It sounded like the oceans are like thunder. In other words, it was just like rumbling, shaking. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to get loud to worship. That's often a fear. So I just want to encourage you on that. Don't worry, God can help you with that. I got to read this verse though. Let's go. Celebrate. Jesus told them a story. He told them a story about a man losing one sheep, and he leaves the 99 and go finds the one. And when he finds that one, he brings it back on his shoulders, and then he calls his friends together to celebrate. Now, this was a parable, and Jesus was making a point, but Jesus told stories about things that actually happened in that day because the people would understand. So we can tell from this that they obviously had a culture of celebrating. He loses one sheep, but he found it. He calls people together to celebrate. And then he continues on, and he talks about a woman who had coins, silver coins, so they're worth a lot, and she lost one. She searched for it carefully. She finds it. She's so excited. She calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, let's celebrate. They found reasons to celebrate. Have you ever lost something, and when you found it, you called people to celebrate? Probably not. In our culture, we don't do that. I mean, maybe if you lost your kid for a while and found them, then you're like, let's celebrate. At least I hope you would. But this is amazing. In other words, celebrating happened a lot. So Jesus tells them this, and he is telling them for a reason, which is going to be our next point. But I want to just stop right there and say, please celebrate other people. Celebrate with other people. Okay, do it. It is good for your health. It is good for your physical and mental health to celebrate. All right? It is good. When's the last time you laughed so much that your stomach hurt? Did you know that it says laughter is like medicine for us? You need to celebrate with others and you need to laugh. All right, enough said. I got to keep moving. We can also celebrate people being saved, healed, and made new. Now, the story that Jesus told about the 99 sheep and the one, about the lost coins and finding the one, he continues on from there to make a point about celebration in heaven. And Luke 15:10 says this, "In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life." Joy breaks out. What does that even look like? Celebration takes place in heaven when someone says yes to following Jesus. Celebration. The angels rejoice. They dance, they jump, they shout. Joy breaks out. The thing about celebration breaking out is it's kind of out of order. Oh my, is that why we're afraid to celebrate? I hope not. Now, I'm an Englishman, and there's something about being an Englishman, everything has to be proper, I think. I drink tea, I really do. I don't put my pinky up, but I do drink tea a lot. But there are times where we need to let loose. We need to just celebrate him because he's worth it. We need to celebrate life. And I'm going to be honest, it was tough for me to do that. But I know how important it is. And as I lead this church, I don't want everybody to start acting like an Englishman that never celebrates. I want you guys to celebrate. Celebrate more than me. Celebrate fully and freely, like King David did. Scripture tells us that there was a time where King David was bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem. The Ark of God was a box with angels on both sides and gold covering it. And God's presence dwelt there at that time with that box. And he is bringing it back to Jerusalem, and David knew how to worship and celebrate. And it said that as they were bringing it back, every six paces, they would give a sacrifice and praise. So like this, we're bringing this Ark back. They walked it back to the city. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whoa, everybody stop. Time to do some praising. You know, go get the sheep, sacrifice, burn it. Okay, let's go again. 2, 3, 4, 5. Whoa, stop. Time to do some more celebrating. And it said that David danced before the Lord with all his might. I have a hard time even telling what that might look like. I don't think they had breakdancing back then, so I mean, that would be all your might, but they danced. He probably did a lot of jumping and spinning. The word rejoice in the Old Testament often means spinning about. So there would have been, whoa, they're dancing, spinning, shouting. And I know some of you right now are like, oh, that just, I don't know. Did you know that David's wife at the time had that attitude? You looked like a goof. You just looked stupid, David. What are you doing? Just embarrassing the whole family, dancing like that. Go ahead, embarrass the whole family, dance for the Lord. Amen. Praise him abundantly, fully. It's who he made you to be. And so David knew how to celebrate. He danced before the Lord, but it also said that he didn't just stop there. He gave figs and a piece of meat and drink to every person. He made sure that they had food and stuff so they could celebrate. He knew how to celebrate. And you and I also need to celebrate. The angels celebrate. Why wouldn't we? Have we become so reserved and polished that we can't celebrate? Celebration is awesome. Celebrating is what you and I are meant to do. There's a story in Scripture about a father whose son decides he's going to leave and go do everything he possibly can crazy with the father's inheritance. And so the son does that, but the son eventually comes to his senses and comes back home. And of course, I talk about this story often. The son comes back home, the father sees him, he runs and gives him a big hug and says, "You're back." And then what is the first thing he decides we're going to do? We're going to celebrate. They had a culture of celebration. They really did. We're going to celebrate. And so he says this in Luke 15, 23, fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. There was only one person in this story who didn't want to celebrate. And it was the older brother. And the only reason he didn't want to celebrate is because he didn't see why we would celebrate this no-good-for-nothing brother who went and wasted all the money and lived in sin. He was focused on somebody's mess-ups and somebody's past, and he couldn't celebrate. Doesn't that seem a little bit wrong? You're going to let somebody else's junk keep you from celebrating. Why? Well, it was a little bit about a selfish thing because he assumed he was way better because he didn't do that and nobody celebrated me. And the father says to him, you could ask for a celebration anytime you want because everything I have belongs to you. But right now we're celebrating your brother who was lost, but he's found, who was like someone who's dead, but he's doing it right now. Can I say this right now, church? Celebrate other people. If they've made a mess of things and they've decided to come back, celebrate them. You're like, yeah, but I know this person. They're going to go do it again. Celebrate them. Celebrate the right decisions that those around you make. Celebrate. The disciples and Jesus celebrated, and they celebrated often. They celebrated people that were set free in Scripture. Luke 10 and 17, 70 disciples were sent out. They came back. They had healed people. Demons were cast out. And this is what they said. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now listen to this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus rejoiced in that hour. When we hear that, it's like, oh, that's nice. He was happy. That word rejoice means to dance and spin about. You didn't know Jesus did that, did you? You thought Jesus wore a white robe with a purple sash, like walked like this. Bless you. Bless you. No, Jesus was a real person. And Jesus in Scripture knew how to celebrate. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees got angry at him because it seemed like all he ever did was go out and eat with people and celebrate. But Jesus danced and spun about, and he was dancing and spinning about because he was so happy that God had chosen to deliver his power and anointing for healing, casting out demons, setting people free. He delivered it to ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and I. Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus was rejoicing about. You did it, Lord. You gave it to ordinary people. Babes, he called them. You gave it to them. That is so amazing. Woo! Let's rejoice. Because he's good. You see, they rejoiced over the fact that people were set free. Did you know that in Scripture there's a story about an entire city celebrating because God had healed and set them free? An entire city. But there's a city called Samaria, and in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says this. So it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and began to preach Christ to them. The crowds were united by what they heard Philip say and the signs they saw him perform, and they gave him their undivided attention. With loud shrieks, unclean spirits came out of many people, and many who were paralyzed or crippled were healed. There was great rejoicing in that city. After they came to believe Philip, who preached the good news about God's kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So an entire city begins to celebrate because they got healed, or maybe their relative got healed. somebody they knew got set free from a bondage of evil spirits, and the rejoicing spread through the city. What would it look like to see all of Slave Lake rejoice, to celebrate, because lives are being changed? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Well, guess what? The same God who did it then is the same God today. He's simply looking for people who are willing to speak, willing to step out, willing to use the power that he's given. You see, the God we serve can heal, and the God we serve can save. You see, he longs to see people come back into right relationship with him. It is his greatest desire to see his people walking for him. Did you know when we pray that simple prayer and somebody says, I want to pray that, angels are rejoicing? We're often pretty calm about it, aren't we? But angels are not. They literally break out in joy. So today we are going to take a minute and we are going to rejoice for the things we've talked about. We're going to rejoice what God has done. We're going to rejoice for our salvation. We're going to rejoice that we're alive and well. We are going to rejoice for what God has done and what he's yet to do. We're going to rejoice because God can do anything.